Revival Services has been coming here for revival services with us. Well, you got a nice glass of ice water. I'll take this still one away.
You have that one.
Hey,
yes.
Mindful.
Oh, yeah. Dale and Opal Lineball. Thank you very much. That's them.
Where were they from? Because I know that name. Were they?
They are Pennsylvania. They had a dude ranch down in Pennsylvania.
I forgot
the name of it.
I have met them somewhere at one
time.
Right?
Yeah, and then he was president of Franklin Bible Training.
Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. I like that Psalm 23, boy. I could preach on that tonight.
Yeah,
amen. Because he gives me spiritual rest. He quenches my thirst. He lifts my spirits. He keeps me on the right path. He protects me. He comforts me. He feeds me. He anoints me. He fills me. And he blesses me and gives me a place to live. Amen. That'll preach, won't it?
Amen.
I tell you what. I wrote that in my Bible many years ago. And you never want to forget. You never want to forget the Word of God. Amen. That's good stuff. I got a lot of stuff in Psalms. Man, we could just spend a whole week in Psalms here, amen. But I want you to go with me tonight to the book of Psalms. And I want you to go, if you would please, go over to the 46th Psalm. The 46th Psalm. Psalm chapter 46. As you're turning there, I will read something to you that I thought was sort of funny. Somebody said there are 7 different stages in life. When you're a toddler, you have the spill stage, because you spill everything, you know. That happens when you get older, too, amen, by the way. And then, Miss Bev, you know, I'm just, she almost dumped Pastor's pop in his lap 4 or 5 times a day over at the restaurant. That was pretty funny, by the way. And I knew he did it on purpose, too, I'm just saying, you know, to see how fast he can move now. But then you go to school and you get the drills. And then, you know, the drills you get when you go to kindergarten, and you go to first grade, and you do this, you do that, and say your ABCs, and you do... Well, I tell you what, I don't know if I ever learned my ABCs yet. I never learned them backwards, let me tell you that. So you have the spill stage, the drill stage, and then you have the teenage years, that's the thrill stage. Then you have the adulthood, that's the bill stage. And then when you get old, you have ills, pills, and wills. Amen. The 7 stages there, so... Look out, some of you are already up there for ills, wills, and pills, amen. And I don't know about you, but I don't like taking medication, never have. And I'm always fussing at the doctor. And I carry a little dinky duffel bag, and it is loaded with a plastic thing in there with bottles of pills. And so I sort them out once every 2 weeks. I sort them out and think, good night, Mike. You're chucking down 5 of these every morning. And then you're chucking down 12 at night. And 11 of them are different. And there's only 2 that are the same. And 2 that are the same are horse pills, amen. And I chuck them out. But my wife says, you know, you used to get on your mom about taking all that medication. I said, oh, she also took it to put her to sleep and wake her up, you know. And I said, yeah, I said, I know. She said, well, it's come back to bite you, didn't it? Yeah, it did, amen. And I tell you what, man, when you get old and you start having to take stuff, and I look at it this way, I say, well, the Lord's keeping me alive, and use a medication to do it, you know. So, no, I do fine with it, but I thank the Lord for it. And I don't know about you, but how many of you take medication and you forget to take it sometimes? You know, I mean, I do, I just... Out of sight, out of mind. I'll get in the car. I'll start down the road. I'll take my left the house and bring my pills with me. And I ain't going back to the house now. I'm only 100 feet down the road, but I ain't gonna turn around and go back. I got too much to do, amen. So I just take off. And I got a pastor friend up in Michigan. He's got a aortic aneurysm, and they got on medication to help him with his blood pressure so it doesn't build up more. And he said, Mike, he said, all that does is make me want to sleep, and I'm tired all the time. And he said, I quit taking it. I said, when will you start taking it again? He said, when I die, amen. I said, I'm just going to go to glory and not worry about it, amen. I said, well, you're pushing it, aren't you, brother? And praise the Lord. Psalm 46, and I want to begin reading in verse 1 tonight. And I'm going to go down for 3 verses. And it says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Boy, that is a truth, amen. I mean, you could just spend, we could spend all night probably just on that one verse, Psalm 46:1. Psalm 46:2 says this: therefore will not we fear. That means we won't, we're not going to fear. Though, he says, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. He said, though all these things happen, we're not going to fear. We're not going to worry about it. I was looking around in our country today and in churches, and you would not believe in churches how many people are fretting about what's going on in our world right now. They're afraid of a third world war. They're afraid of Trump being so rough, you know, and so gruff. And I say, praise the Lord, let me be rougher and rougher, amen. But they're afraid, and because of that, they're living in a fear in their life rather than enjoying the presence of God in their life. I learned a lot. I'm not afraid. Whatever happens, happens. What doesn't happen, happens. Can I tell you why? Because God is in control of every bit of it. No matter what happens, He's in control. It doesn't matter to me. If it happens, it happens, you know. What Russia just threatened us here the other day, and Trump didn't back down. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. We ought to have a president don't back down. I remember back in the 60s, I was just a little kid, and I remember the Cuban Missile Crisis, amen, back in the 60s. And, well, what was going on back then, you know, and I was just a little tight back then. I was only like, maybe fourth or fifth grade. I can't remember something like that. How old would I have been? 62, wasn't it? I believe it happened. I was 10 years old, you know, at the time. And I was probably still in the second grade because I flunked the first grade. No, I flunked the third grade, actually. So, but anyway, I'm just saying, I can remember that. And I can remember the people that were just so, they were scared. You know, I had an uncle that when that happened, everybody was digging fruit cellars or bomb shelters. So I had an uncle, he would not call it a bomb shelter, but about 150 yards behind the house, he dug a root cellar, you know. And you'd walk down, he'd put a light out there, he had electricity out there, I mean, you know. But it was all because of that. He wouldn't say that's what it was because of, but when I got older, I realized what he had done, just like everybody else had done back then. They were in fear. They were in fear. And we have people today who are just as afraid as there were some back then. You think about this, my thoughts. I'm not going to stay in these verses, but I just want to give us this thought. I want to be at peace with God in my life. I want to be at peace when I go out of my house and I'm getting in my car, no matter what's happening, I want to have peace with God. Some people live, They get that salvation. Well, I tell you what, man. When I got saved, I had peace like nobody's business, you know. And there's been times in my Christian life since then when I didn't feel that peace that I had back there 51 years ago. But I've determined in my life not to let things destroy my peace with God as a child of God. Well, let's just look at a couple of thoughts here. Number one, we see about Jesus Christ, He is the Prince of Peace. Amen? You can't have peace without Jesus. For unto us a child is born, Isaiah 9:6, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince, what? Of Peace. The Prince of Peace. And then He says in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. He's the Prince of Peace, but because of that, He said, peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Wow, think about that one. The world breaks peace treaties all the time, amen. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be, here it goes, let not be your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We're commanded in the Scripture and told in the Scripture not to allow these things to worry us and not allow these things to stop us from doing what we ought to be doing as born-again believers, saved by the very grace of God. The world will break its peace treaty, but God will never break his peace treaty with you. He made that peace with you when you got saved. Amen. And when you get saved, you can't lose what he gave you, because why? You didn't do anything to gain it. You didn't sign that peace treaty. He did. He gave it to you. You trusted him as your Savior. He will not break that peace treaty at all. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 just for a moment. The book of Ephesians in your Bible, and chapter 2, and I'll give you a second to get over there. Ephesians and chapter 2. Boy, it's one of my favorite books in the Bible. I love about the church of Ephesus, and we read this through chapter 6 in the book of Ephesians. But chapter 2 and down to verse 14, we read this. Chapter 2 of Ephesians down to verse 14. I'm going to read verse 14 through 17. He says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall or partition between us." Otherwise, he made it possible for you to come to the throne of grace. Amen. He broke that wall down. You don't have to go to some man to get peace with God. You have to go to God. You have to go to Jesus Christ. He said, "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh." Those who were far off and those that were close. Those who were close to him are closer in what they believe. He said, "I came to give peace." You know what that means? He came to give peace to the whole world. He came to give peace to you. He gave peace to me, those in Africa, no matter where they're at. He came that they might have peace and they might learn how to live in peace as a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, we see he's the Prince of Peace. Number two, we see that his peace is perfect. His peace is perfect. He says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Now listen, "whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Now listen one more time. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So here's my title of my message tonight is this: what is your mind stayed on? Where are your thoughts? When you come to church service, what do you think about in a church service? What do you think about when you're at home? What do you think about when you're sitting in your chair and your feet are up in the air and your head's back and you start to snore? What are you thinking about? What's on your mind? Well, truly, can I be honest with you, what ought to be on our mind is Jesus Christ. But he's not a lot of times, is he? We think about everything else. And then we begin to fret because of what's going on in the world. And I watch the news once in a while, but very seldom do I watch the news on TV. Very seldom. Once in a while, I'll turn it on just to catch up on a few things. But I usually get all my information from somebody else. I don't get off the internet, let me tell you, amen. Because I know everything on the internet is true, but I don't care. Just saying, you know. But I'm just saying, I don't always watch the news. But I guess because I'm not worried about it. And then I'll flip it on, I'll catch something and say, "Man, I didn't know that was going on," you know. And I think it was like after Russia attacked the Ukraine, I thought it was like 2 days before I knew about it. And I got my phone, and these news feeds come up, and I'm always swiping them off, so I don't even look to see what they're saying. But I don't want to read that junk, you know. And then once in a while, something will catch my eye, I didn't know that was happening. I didn't know that was going on. Because I don't care. And I'm not being nasty about it. I'm just saying, I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven no matter what happens. Amen. If Jesus decides to take me now in this pulpit, I'm ready to go. There I go. No, I'm ready to go if that happens, you know. But I'm not going to fret about it happening. I'm not going to fret about if I get home again. I'm not going to fret about anything. I'm just not going to fret about it. This is a long time ago. I have peace with God. What is your mind stayed on? That's the title of the message tonight. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." What is your mind stayed on? John 16:33 says, "These things have been spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Now listen, in the world ye shall have tribulation. In the world. But he spoke this that you might have what? Peace. In the world, he said, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Because he's overcome the world, you can live in peace as a believer in Jesus Christ. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to live in doubt. As a boy, I tell you, so many people, so many Christians live in doubt about their salvation. Truly saved, born again. I used to say, Pastor, that if you believe you can lose your salvation, then you're probably not saved. I realize that's not a true statement, amen. But I used to say that all the time. And my wife one time said, "Do you really believe that?" I said, "Yeah, I believe that." You know, how can they think they can lose it? You know, because I got peace, amen. Well, then I realized that some people do believe that, but they live in fear. Because if you believe that, then how do you believe that he overcame the world? That you might have eternal life and that you might have total peace with him. Well, he's the Prince of Peace. His peace is perfect, and his peace passeth all what? Understanding. His peace passeth all understanding. Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The world will never understand how you can go through what you go through and still have a smile on your face. I was telling you about my son-in-law this morning. Pastor met my son-in-law this last week, and they already knew my daughter, and he wasn't sure who she was, because I call her Ricky, and she had Rochelle on her, on her name tag. He said, "I know who she is, but who is she?" You know, and then he figured it out. And it's my daughter and her husband, and the one just was diagnosed on the way there with liver cancer. And he's been in the hospital. I can't count on fingers and toes how many times he's been in the hospital in the last 5 years, you know, with this stuff with his liver and the disease that he's been diagnosed with now, and now liver cancer. And you know what he does, Pastor? He witnesses to the doctors. He witnesses to people in the room who are in the room with him. One day he was in there, and there was a lady, and the husband was just all tense and upset and like he was out of control, and she was trying to calm him down, and Mark got out of his bed and walked over to the guy's bed and said, "Can I pray for you?" And she said, "Would you please?" He started praying, and immediately that man calmed down. And then she kept in contact with the lady there, and the lady keeps in contact with her, and I believe she told me the lady is saved, but because of the prayer, the man calmed down. You know, that's what prayer does. That's the peace of God. So the guy's laying there in bed, and he's getting peace. I don't even know if he was saved, but God can give an unsaved person peace. You know, God can do what he wants to do. But he's not going to save you until you call upon him. That's the peace you need. Right there, man, the peace you need. The world will never understand it. How you can go through adversity, listen, and still worship God. They don't understand. They don't understand how you can have something wrong and be sometimes just be on the verge of death, and yet you can sit in the house or you can sit in the church and you can still hallelujah to God and praise God. No matter what you're going through, you can still praise God. And the world wouldn't understand that. If everybody in here shared every little thing that has been wrong with them, amen, every little thing, And this people from town here came in and sat down amongst us, another 10 or 20 people sat here. They could not understand. When you share what is going on to you, and then you say, "Praise God, I've got peace, and I love him, and he's taking care of me, and he's meeting my needs," they don't understand. That, well, there you go. But that's how it ought to be in our lives. That's how it ought to be. We gotta, when we come in the house of God, if we're in our car, you know, man, just experience the joy and the peace of God in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. The Lord will give strength, he says in Psalm 29:11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Are you a child of God, or what? Are you one of His people? Amen. If you're one of His people, you're one of His chosen, you're one of His children, then He says you can live in peace in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. The Lord will give strength unto His people. He'll give you strength. And then the Lord will bless you with peace. Bless His people with peace, He says. And then not only is He the Prince of Peace, and His peace is perfect, and His peace passes all understanding, but His peace needs a proper place. It needs a proper place. Go with me to the book of Colossians. If you're in Ephesians, just go over a couple of pages, and you're going to be in the book of Colossians. You're going to go past Philippians and then hit Colossians. So you got Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And in Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians in chapter 3. And over in the book of Colossians in chapter 3. I'll give you a second to get there. And I want to begin reading, and I'm going to start reading in verse 12. The Bible says this: Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the what? Let the peace of God. Let the peace of God do all these things. And by this, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called into one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with a grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him, to God by and the Father by Him. And so He tells you and I, let the peace of God rule in your heart, that you might accomplish these things, and that these things might be in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ. When you have peace with God, now let me put it this way: you cannot be at war with man and have peace of God with peace of God at the same time. It's not going to happen. Because if you are in a fight with somebody, and I've seen it in churches, I've seen it where churches are falling apart and being destroyed because there is bitterness between maybe two people in the church or two groups in the church, and there is no love, no joy, and how can you be at peace with God if that's going on? You can't. How can you be at peace with God if you blew your stack at your neighbor and screamed at him? Amen. How can you be at peace with God if somebody took your parking spot in front of you in the parking lot, and you had your turn signal on, and they come the other way and they jump right past and get into your parking spot? You know what I do? I just run them over. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. I'm just saying. But how can you be at peace with God? Now listen. And I know, man. I know you. I know me. You might not do this, but my first reaction is this: me, get out of the way, you know.
You got road rage.
I tell you what, I got a preacher friend in Florida. I don't know if you heard of Brother Knox, brother or not, but he's written a few commentaries. The guy's he's crazy anyway, but he would pull up behind a lady in his church one day, and she had on her back bumper, "Honk if you love Jesus." I'm not going to tell you what she did out the window of her car, but when he pulled in the parking lot beside her and got out of his car, he says, "Sister," he says, "you know what you just did back there?" She says, "Yeah, Pastor, I was waving at you." "Yeah, well, it wasn't the right wave, let me tell you." Amen. He tells that story all over the place when he preaches, you know. But I tell you, my friend, you want peace with God, make things right with man, stay and keep things right with God. That's it. You want peace with God? Make things right with man. Keep things right with God. Romans 14, 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness." Now listen. "But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." And sometimes we think joy, you know, is getting up and dancing before the Lord. No, that's not what joy is. But boy, when I get excited, I've been in many meetings. When I get excited, I stand up sometimes. I'll throw my hand up in the air and say, "Hallelujah. Amen." I'm not afraid to do that. I'm sure probably down at the conference, pastor, some of that was going on. Amen. I'll guarantee you there were some like this. They stand up and they just throw both hands up in the air. I've seen Brother Old Charlie Clark, a founding pastor, do that up in Maine before when he was all excited one time and the singing is going on. You watch him. He's scooting to the front edge of his seat. He gets on that edge and all of a sudden he'll just jump up and say, "Hallelujah," or "Amen," you know, like that. Just to watch him do that just blesses your heart. Amen. And it's not fake. It's real. We ought not be afraid to praise God. But he says here again, he says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." It's not physical. It's not a physical thing. So, "But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Some of us need joy, amen. And we need to be at peace and have joy with God. "For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." Now, we don't do things just to be approved of men. But if you're right with God, there's going to be a lot of people out there who are going to look at you and say, "There's something different about that person. There's something different." And they ought to say that. Not there's something different because they're doing wicked and ungodly, but there's something different because they're living righteous and holy and because they have joy in their heart. "Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace and things wherewith we may edify one another." And then that's the proper place. The proper place is me and you for peace in our lives, in our heart, the joy of God through the Holy Ghost. And sometimes in Baptist churches today, pastor, we're afraid about talking about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, amen. Because we don't want to get linked in with what we would call the Pentecostals. I had a friend one time. Well, he really wasn't a friend, but I knew him. He was a Pentecostal pastor. I thought a charismatic pastor. I made a statement to him. I said, "You Pentecostals are all the same." He said, No. "I think I told you this the other day, pastor." He said, "No," he said, "I'm not Pentecostal." I said, "What?" I said, what's, he said, "There's a difference between Pentecostal and charismatic." I said, "Really?" He said, "You don't know?" I said, "No, that's why I called you a Pentecostal." He said, "No, I'm charismatic." He said, "A Pentecostal has a set doctrine and belief that they will not change or sway from. It's what they've always believed. It's what they still believe. It's what they will continue to believe." He said, charismatics, depending on how the Spirit moves next week, is what we'll do. And then we might change a week after that. That's scary, amen. I think I would rather have a good Pentecostal friend, brother, than a charismatic friend any day, amen. I'm not speaking bad about him. I'm just simply saying there's a problem there, my friend. But peace can only come by salvation. That's Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can give it to you. You're talking about the book of Romans 5:1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." It only comes through Him. You can't have peace without Him. You can't do it. I'm telling you, my friend, you can try to do good. You can try to do right. There were many times in my life before I was born again, saved by the grace of God, where I tried to do right. I tried to do the right things, and I did some right things. But when my heart was so stinking wicked that I just went back and did what I wanted to do because I wasn't saved. But boy, when God saved me, He gave me the peace to continue. And I'm not saying I was perfect. I'm saying He gave me the peace to continue. I remember my cigarettes one day, when I quit finally, pastor, about a year and a half after I was saved, and I reached in my pocket. God said, "Throw them out." I just reached in my pocket, chucked them out my car window, and I have not had a desire for one since. Amen. The fellow who led me to the Lord, Coronado, he's gone now. But he told me a story when he led me to the Lord. He said, "Mike," he said, he was a businessman. He said, "Down in my basement, we had a bar. We had a beautiful bar, and we had a bar a countertop, and some nice stools. And he said, when I got saved, he said, I've been saved just a few months. He said, my furnace had to have some service done to it. So I called the technician in, and he came into my house, and he went down to my basement, and he's working on my furnace. He said, I told Patty, he said, that was the wife, and Patty, he says, we need to go downstairs, and we need to get rid of that liquor down there. And she said, okay. So they walked down the steps, and they opened up the bottles of liquor, and he stood there, and he dumped hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of booze, you know, not beer, liquor, man, you know, hard stuff, and dumped it down the drain of that sink. And he says, I'm watching out for mine, and that guy's standing like this working. And Carl said, just look at him, said, well, about 2 months ago, we got saved by the grace of God. We have not touched a drop since. And we just want you to know that we don't believe and live this lifestyle anymore. And they kept on dumping. They dumped every one of the bottles out in front of him. And then Carl took a track out of his pocket. He was a Nazarene. Led me to the Lord, amen. He's half right, amen, that's what I tell him, you know. So he led me to the Lord, and he said, took a track out, and he said, walked over him, track, and said, if you would read this, it'll help you to become what you ought to be in your life, and God will save you by his grace, you know. He said, God saved us, and we are different than what we were 2 months ago. Man. You know, it was a year later when he started witnessing to me. He'd only been saved a year. Man, what a witness he became. He read in the Bible where it said, visit the prisoners. And he took that to heart. I think some of us ought to take that stuff to heart, amen. Took it to heart. And he knows what the scripture is saying there. He said, but I read that, Mike, and he said, I thought, I need to visit prisoners. And he came in with the Gideons, believe it or not, and shook my hand that night, and then about a month later, I got a letter, or a couple weeks later, I got a letter from him. He said, I want to apologize to you. I shook your hand when you came in. I saw your name on your prison tag. He said, and I didn't sit down with you. You sat down at the end of the table. He said, I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry. I should have given you the gospel. I told you about Jesus. And he wrote the gospel. And for 2 years, he worked, a year and a half to 2 years, he worked on me over and over and over. And when I got saved, he's the one I wrote a letter to. He said, Carl, I need to be saved. What must I do? And so he sent me back, rolled it all out. I read it. Four or five times during the day, I read it. Got my soul that night. Got the Bible out that he had sent me. And a King James Bible. He wasn't King James only at the time. He became one, amen. But I like to think, because I told him he needs to be right with God, amen. But, you know, so it had pages. This is what, here's where it's at, what page it's on, Mike. Just read. He wrote it out, then he wrote the reference, and he said it's on this page in the Bible, and I read the Roman road, beginning in Romans 3:10. That's where he started. Read the Roman road, and he said, if you'll pray, believing in your heart, and trusting Jesus Christ, and ask forgiveness for your sin, he'll save you. So he wrote this. He said, now here's a prayer. He said, you can say this prayer. This will help you. But if you don't mean it, it will not do anything for you. Do you mean it? Do you mean it, Mike? Now, I want to tell you what. When I got off my knees off that floor after trusting Christ that night, I had peace with God that I had never known in 22 years of life. I had no idea. Man. Did it feel good? And I know we're Baptists, we don't go by feelings, but I want to tell you what, it felt good. Amen. Remember the day you got saved?
Yeah.
Feel good? Boy, don't lose that. Don't lose your first love, amen. Don't leave it. Don't walk away from it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, we read that tonight, shall be saved. He does make this statement in Scripture, for what is a profit? What does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. You can't give anything in exchange for your soul, because Jesus gave it all. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men by what we must be saved. Only the name of Jesus. He's the only one that can do it. I'm looking in a crowd here tonight, and probably I've heard every one of your testimonies somehow, some way, since I've been coming to this church for so many years. I have to look up and see how many years I've been coming, preacher. I don't know. Long time, amen. And I'd say probably tonight in this crowd, probably you know Christ as your Savior. But, there's always a but, amen. But if not, I've seen people sit in church services for years and not be saved. And sit there and hear the gospel and agree. If you say, raise your hand if you're saved, and their hand will go up in the air. And all of a sudden, one year, pastor, they'll get up and they'll walk that aisle. I was in a meeting where I saw a pastor's wife do that. In a meeting where I saw a preacher's daughter do that. We had two pastor's wives saved that week in that tent meeting up in Michigan. Two pastor's wives got saved. Wow. Can you imagine that? A pastor's wife not being saved? Yeah. I've seen preachers. Listen to this. I've seen independent Baptist preachers who I've talked to personally, who shared their testimony, how they got saved after they had been preaching the Word of God for 10, 15 years. Thought they were saved. And all of a sudden, one day, they came to the realization that they'd never truly been born again, washed in the blood. You say, how is that possible? How can he preach? Well, God says he will bless his Word. Didn't say he'll bless the man. Say he'll bless his Word. There's been men in the pulpit. And I know some personally that are no longer in the ministry, that were cheating on their wives with the secretary of the church or somebody else in the church, or somebody else outside the church, and all of a sudden they get caught, and they've been preaching for two and three. One guy I knew for 3 years did that, and people got saved right and left. And a friend of mine said, How in the world can people get saved with a man that is living like that? How can that happen, Mike? How can that happen? Well, God blesses his Word. I had a book I read years ago, Pastor, about a man in prison. And he literally ran to prison from the inside. Tough guy. And so a guy, he was Jewish, and there was a Jewish fellow started visiting people in prison who were Jewish people. And so he gave this Jewish guy in prison, this guy who ran the prison from the inside, gave him a tract and a little Bible, and gave him the plan of salvation. And so the story, I read the book that this guy wrote, a true story. And so I'll get as close as I can get it right, I'll tell you. So he's down in where he has his desk in this part of the prison, and one of his henchmen, he says, this guy is a big guy, you know. You get the idea, some kind of a big biker, about 6'4", just, you know, a husky fella. And he said, this big guy, he worked for me in the prison. He said, he comes through the door. And he said, when I saw him come, I took that and I threw it in the desk drawer real quick like that. And he walks up and he said, what are you doing? He said, what were you reading? What did you have in your hand? Nothing. What were you doing? And so he said the guy reached in the drawer later on and took out that Bible and took out that material and read it. And that guy got saved. Because this guy started telling him what the other guy said. He got saved, well, then this guy got saved eventually. So God can even use unsaved people to reach unsaved people. So how's that work, Mike? I don't know. It's God. When that happens, guess what? You get peace with God. Amen? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Does peace have a proper place in your life? What is your mind stayed on as a believer in Jesus Christ? What do you think about? What do you dwell on? Do you dwell on what's going to happen at work next day? Or do you dwell on the doctor's appointment that's coming up? Do you dwell on? I tell you, my friend, what's your mind stayed on? How many tonight would just be honest with me for a moment? Let me ask you a question. And it's going to sound like a loaded question, but please understand it's not. I don't do this I just want you to think for a minute. How many would be honest tonight and say, Brother Mike, would you just pray for me because my mind wanders sometimes where it should not? Could you just pray for me tonight? How about it? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Others, God bless you. Amen. Anybody else tonight? God bless you. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Sometimes my mind wanders where it should not. Anybody else? What does your mind stayed on? Think about that. Dig deep. Dig deep. Dig deep. Think about that. Second question. Have you been born again? Washed in the blood of the Lamb? And you know without a shadow of a doubt, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. Now, if you can say that, I say praise the Lord. But I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand, but listen to me. If you're not sure, I want to pray for you. Anybody here not sure? Anybody here with an upraised hand saying, Mike, I'm not sure, I'm not sure, I'm not sure. I don't see any hands, so praise the Lord. Let's pray. Stand our feet, and I'll pray, give an invitation. So let's stand our feet, and we'll be done here in just a few moments. Father, thank you for your precious word. I thank you for these that raise their hands, Lord. God, you know their heart. Father, we can only see the outward, but you see the inward. And God, I pray that you help them to live in the peace that you have designed for them as they are your children. And that you'd have all the honor and the glory, Father. Help us tonight, please. Wrap your loving arms around us through the Holy Spirit. God, comfort us. Help us, lead us, direct us, Father. Help us to keep our feet on the right path for you, to honor and glorify you in our lives, that you might be lifted up upon high and magnified. We'll give you the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, speak to your heart tonight. Why don't you just slip out and come to the altar tonight. Just slip out and come. God bless you. God bless you. Just slip out and come. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Just come. Come.
Jesus, I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence. Freely live. I surrender. Surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Page 496 in our hymnal, 496. Let's pray those last two verses. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord. I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. Appreciate we can be here tonight. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we'll be back here looking for God to move in our midst for revival services. Expecting some other visitors to come in next tomorrow night. So you'd be in your place if you could be here, and appreciate again that we could gather. Let's remember some of our folks in prayer. Pray especially for Tim and Linda. They're all excited about getting out. Praise the Lord again that God would have His hand on that van. I hate buying vehicles because I'm always scared. I fear. I always fear. Even though we're told to have peace and not fear, I'm always scared that something's going to happen. That then the week after I buy it, the transmission's going to go or something's going to happen. So pray for Tim and Linda. Pray again for Tim. He's got that wheelchair. He don't know how to steer it yet. It's different than his other one. And let's keep them in our prayer. Pray for Steve. Praise the Lord. They're in the hospital. And hold him up in prayer. Pray for Neil. Praise the Lord, Neil being here for the revival services. And Neil came out of jail or prison, and Brother Patterson's got some stories about that, again, that will help you out, Neil. Praise the Lord. And appreciate, again, Neil being saved. And Friday, Lord willing, we'll have a baptismal service down at the lake. Rain or shine. If it's rain, he'll get sprinkled on and baptized. Praise the Lord. So let's go ahead and dismiss in prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you again for your bounty and your blessing. Thank you again that you hear our prayer. Thank you that you could calm some troubled waters in some lives. We think of Pastor's daughter, or Evangelist Patterson's daughter, and son-in-law, and Father, the need that they have and their cry to you, and pray that you'd intervene. Pray again that you'd be with Brother Cranmer's mom and Father, and all that's going on there, that you just take that in hand and cause it through it all that your name could be magnified. Pray that you'd be with Steve. Surround him in your care tonight there in that hospital room, and touch with your hand, and we'll give you praise. Pray that you'd be with each of these, and that we could again see your hand moving in our lives and in our affairs. Father, bring us back at the appointed time. We'll give you the praise. We love you tonight. Thank you for revival services at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. In the name of Christ, we praise you. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the house.